What's up, y'all? It's Trey Young here from The Point by Your Favorite Point, presented by Sprite, the clear favorite. Obviously, you got my brother Winston again with
me. What up?
Handshake.
I feel like the chairs get a little farther and farther. Guys, we're live in the Bleacher Report app, so make sure you know you're commented down in the chat. We're so excited to have everybody. Ice, it's been a second since All-Star, man. I know you've had some things going on. All these injury reports are saying that it's your fifth finger that's been
injured. Yeah, they need to start saying pinky.
But why you think like fifth finger is crazy, honestly?
Well, that's just the proper way you gotta say
the medical term.
The medical term. So
whenever Dr. Ice Trey, everybody, Dr. Ice. How you feeling though? You feeling good?
Yeah, I feel good, bro. Feel good. Surgery went well. I get this my wrist free tomorrow, so I have this little. It's like a little brace. I wrapped it up so it looks a little prettier than what's under it. But yeah, I got a little brace. It'll be all right. I get this off tomorrow and then got to be in that for another 3 weeks.
So. Yeah. You know, I'm the king of fun facts. And did you know, actually, it is not your pinky that is your weakest finger, but it's actually your ring finger that is your weakest finger.
Really?
In the hand. Yep.
Damn.
I was paying attention in class, so...
Yeah, or somebody just gave you a fun fact.
Fair. Shout out Abby. thank you for the fun fact. But I know this is the first time in your career that you are going to miss a little bit of time longer than you have in the previous couple of years. What has that process been like for you of just kind of coming to terms that, you know, you might be out for a little bit, and what kind of steps are you taking to make sure you're good to go whenever you come back?
I don't even know if I've came to terms with that. I'm going to be out long. Like, I ain't even missed five games yet or four games yet. Like,
true.
I think the longest I've missed in a row in my whole career was four. So this is going to be the most games, obviously, I've ever missed in a row or in a season. So I don't even know if I'm like in full terms with it yet or understanding on like what I'm going to be like. I mean, throughout this whole thing, I may get frustrated at times because I'm not used to it and I'm just ready to play. But yeah, it's definitely, I'm not used to it for sure.
And as a competitor, what's next for Trey? Like, I know it's got to be difficult sitting on the sidelines as somebody who just wants to compete every night, as you have done, you know, in the past couple of seasons. Like, what is that like?
Well, I just got to get this rehab process. My first time doing that, so. Getting out of this brace tomorrow and then just seeing the hand doctors every day or my rehab specialist. I got one of the best in the game, so she's going to make sure my hand's right and can get me right. And whenever the time is ready for me to come back, I'm going to come back.
And mentally, how is, you know, being told that you are going to miss a little bit of time, how is that for you? You feel like you're solid?
No, I mean, to be honest, I ain't solid with it. Like, it's tough. Like, I mean, it's my first time having this, so it's like I get a little break, but I'm not happy with it. Like, I like just watching the last two games and seeing my teammates out there playing. Like, it's tough. Like, not being able to be out there and get my guys involved or score when, I mean, I feel like we need a bucket or like. It's just, it's tough because you're watching it from a different lens and now I got to do that for a little bit. And, but like I said, it's God's timing with everything. And so this may have just happened for a reason.
Amen.
So that's what it is.
Amen. And we've talked about this multiple times on the show, but how important the NBA community is around you. You know, have there been any guys that have reached out to you to offer their encouragement or advice of, not even just like the physical stuff, but just making sure, you know, you sharp and mentally just knowing that you got somebody there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. A lot of guys hit me up. I mean, one of the first guys was Book, though. Book said he had the same injury 5 years ago. He hit me up right away when he saw the news. But, yeah, a lot of people have hit me up. I mean, the lady who's working with me has worked with, I mean, CP after all his hand injuries and getting him back right. And, I mean, certain guys after they've been hurt, so, like, I'm with one of the best specialists too. So, yeah, a lot of people have hit me up, but yeah, it's been tough for sure.
What did Book specifically say to help encourage you just to know that you're not alone, that you're going to get through it? you know, that process?
Man, I think him just telling me that he went through this process and he had the same injury 5 years ago is enough. And we were talking a little bit about it. And but yeah, I mean, just him telling me that, you can see what he's done since then. So you can just that alone is enough. Like, we ain't got to talk too much about it. And he knows that. And he was just giving me some some encouragement because he knows. I mean, I would rather be playing than being through this. So,
sure.
It was good to hear.
Everybody loves a comeback story, whether that's big or small. You know, everybody likes to see somebody come out on the wrong side of something and then eventually be on the mountaintop again. And so I'm sure there are multiple folks, not only us, you know, your circle, but those around the league that can't wait to see you back on the court. Mm-hmm. As somebody who's and I know personally, but a lot of people don't, is you are a creature of habit. You love your routine about how you prep, how you do all this. What has that shift been like for you? Is this is like a massive change in your routine now? Like, you can't go to the gym at X time. You can't, you know, you got to change up your whole day. So how has that change for you been? And
well, like I said, we ain't started the fully thing yet, but I know it's going to be way different. Like, and that's why I said, I don't know how I'm going to be with it. Like, I may have some bad days where I'm not in the mood to do certain things. I may be frustrated because, to be honest, I'd rather be playing than going through this rehab process. Like, a lot of people don't know. I don't even tell my strength or the training staff a lot of times when I'm hurt, like, just because I know they always side on precaution and being over precautious for the players. So sometimes they may hold a guy out just because he said he was hurt with something here or there. So there's been times a lot throughout my time in the league. Everybody probably does it in college, but in the league where I never even told the training staff that I'm hurt. Yeah. So I'd rather be out on the court. So yeah, going through this is going to be different. And so I don't even know what the steps are going to be like or what I'm going to be like every day, but it's going to be a process for sure.
Have you found yourself watching more hoop with just, you know, a little bit more time to maybe, you know, not be prepping for games or, you know, not actively on the court during practice?
Sure. Yeah, for sure. I'm at the house. I'm watching games. I'm watching, I saw Caitlin break all these records these past couple of weeks. Like, and then today, like, it was just, so just seeing all these different things going on, like I have a little bit more time to do that.
And I know we just talked about routine. I know part of your routine is always in film and just making sure that you watching yourself about how you can get better. So I know why, because I've seen you do it in the past couple of days, but I know you're in film heavy, just making sure that you're even taking this time to get better.
No, for sure. I mean, I'm going to be, when I get back, I'm not going to be back and be average or be regular again. Like,
never that.
Yeah, I was never that to begin with.
But never that.
I'm just trying to go back and be dominant right back as I was. So
absolutely. We had a live podcast in Indy for the first time, which we had Asia Wilson and Damian Lillard, who joined us for the show. That was such a great experience.
Fire.
I wish I would have gotten the video because I would have posted it, but I think it was like an hour before the doors even opened. Before we even got on stage, there was like a line around the block of people waiting in the snow.
Nah,
it was
crazy
to think like how far that, and we still have so much more to do, but that I thought that was, was pretty dope.
There was a lot of love in Indy. A lot of people showed up and came out. That was a crazy place. Like, the setup we had in Indy at All-Star was fun. The fans were there. There were some fans even at practice that was yelling, like, I mean, that they was at the podcast and show. So like, it was cool to like see that. I mean, we just started this like last summer, at All-Star weekend, having people pull up to a show was really cool. So
very surreal. Very
surreal. We'll do it in some more cities here soon.
Absolutely.
So we'll do it.
No, absolutely. I thought it was so interesting this year, the LED court for, was it Friday and Saturday?
They did it Friday for Saturday. They may have did it Friday for, I think they just did it Saturday for the skills.
Regardless, but it was like an overall thing for All-Star Weekend. How was that? Because there's no way I could.
No way. You can't really tell, like, on the court. Like, when I was sitting down on the bench waiting for our turn or whatever, you can see it and, like, it's noticeable. But, like, when you're out there shooting or you, like, you're going to the next spot, you don't really see it. I mean, and it kind of helps you. And we're not running as fast. Like, you see, I'm not going to run as fast on the court because it's not a real court.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Speaking of that, like, was it, like, did it on your shoes? Did it But was like, did it feel different on your shoes or not really?
No, I mean a little bit. Like it was like, it wasn't a wood floor. Yeah. So it was like obviously a different type of flooring. So the traction of your shoes wasn't the same.
Yeah. What was your feeling on going back to the East and West format? I thought it was love, honestly.
I liked it better. It didn't make the game any more competitive, but yeah. I mean, I liked it better. Hopefully eventually it'll get back to being more competitive this way. But yeah, I liked it a lot better than doing the drafts and all that.
Yeah. In your own perspective, your own opinion, is there a specific way that you think the game can get more competitive? Is it simply just guys buying in? Is there a certain measure? It doesn't have to, it could be, you know, super general too.
There's a lot of different ways that it can be better. Like, I mean, the game is way different now. Like, there's a lot more politics that go into the All-Star game, and it's a lot different nowadays. So, like, people look at the All-Star game. I know for me, through my lens, like, I look at it way different than what I did when Kobe and Jordan were going at it, or AI and some of the best guards were going at it and going at each other, and best players were going, like, you even see like Shaq and them would play a little bit at the beginning, but when it gets to the fourth quarter and third quarter, like they're trying to win. So like, it's a lot different now, but I feel like a few things could change it. Like maybe obviously the East West going back to that, because doing the drafts is, I mean, they're making the All-Star game more for the fans than for the actual players and them being there. And we get it. It's for the fans. And so if it's for the fans, us as players, we're not going to, the way y'all are making certain things, we're going to look at it as that. And we're going to try to put on a show for the fans.
Absolutely.
Give them lobs, shoot half court shots. Yeah.
Like, and it does that. Most importantly, like the All-Star game does that. It is a show. And it absolutely did that to the best of its ability. It is a full show. I'm sitting there glued to the TV.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And this is one of the highest rated watching.
Of course.
I mean, All-Star games in history too. So it's like, you're winning on that, but you're not getting the defensive side.
Exactly.
And the competitive side. And it's tough because guys nowadays, like for me personally, like I look at the All-Star, being snubbed a couple of times when I feel like I should have made it.
Yep.
Like I look at the All-Star game a little differently than some guys that probably made it every year. But guys that make it every year, I mean, who knows what they're thinking. Like guys like Luka and Jokic, like they know they only judge in the playoffs and championships. Yeah. And I mean, if they get some, what's it called? Like you see them joking, playing soccer with the basketball in the game.
Yeah.
Like it's more about like some guys are taking it serious, some guys don't, but every guy has, a lot of guys have different reasons for it too. So
exactly that.
I mean, maybe if you, I don't know what would make everybody buy in a little more, but I think the game is looked that way different. And some guys look at the All-Star game a lot different.
Yeah. And that's great. And honestly, like, What they did, like you said, it was an extremely successful weekend. Like the LED court, amazing. Thought that the game itself was super entertaining. Like, you got to.
And they're changing a lot of stuff too.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry to cut you off, but they change a lot of stuff too. Cause that can make it frustrating as the player going into it every year. Like this year I'm on the bench. Like, it was 2 years ago, but I didn't know it was a target. There wasn't a target score this year. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they switch it up every year. So it's like, how can you really buy into a product when you don't even know necessarily what it's going to be?
Right.
You're really more focused on your team at that point.
Right.
You're focused on making sure you're ready to go back after the weekend and turn up the second half of the season. So that's how I feel about it.
And that's absolutely fair. For what it's worth, I thought the league did an amazing job. I thought that, like I said, the events overall were a huge success. And looking on, you know, building it, you know, to future All-Star weekends, and hopefully they continue to put out a good product and get what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
There was speaking of All-Star, there was I saw your feet, your chrome. I think the colorway specifically was Dimes, in collaboration with Adidas and Brandcene. Shout out Max for that. Shout out Has for that. Wildly sick shoe.
Yeah.
I thought they were so sick. Man, when you first saw the shoes, oh man, those are so crispy.
They fire. No, they tough. Homie Max made those. I like them because they're simple. Like, you know me, I like simple colors, simple colorways. So that, and it has some meaning behind it. Like, it's not just the color. It has
what
a
is
meaning.
The, yeah,
and
what
it's
is
simple.
The meaning?
I mean, Don just speaks for itself. I mean, you know the color of a Don, like it's silver. So that speaks for itself. It got the logo inside the shoe. So, I mean, those are tough. So definitely, definitely fire.
For people who don't know, Trey is, he's very vocal and outspoken on he would much rather get an assist than he would score a point.
Facts.
And so, you know, throughout your entire career, what is kind of embracing that and just understanding that, like, man, like, this is really how I can change the game. Obviously, everybody know you can score, but that passing part of your game. And it speaks to, like, what the shoe was. Like,
I mean, that's just how I've always been built. The selfish narrative around me, like, that's just not in me. Like, I'm just that alone. Like, my favorite thing is an assist. Like, me letting my homie design my all-star shoes, like, I feel like that's an assist. Like, I love that. That's what makes me happy. Mm-hmm. Like, if it was me doing this alone, I'd be sad and it wouldn't be as fun for me. So I've always been that way. It ain't never going to change. And that's just how I've always been.
Amen. And you, this too. I mean, this applies, but also for guests that we have on the show too, it's an opportunity for them to lob them with an assist and be like, you have an unfiltered platform to do what you want, man. Say what you need to say, you know? And so that's dope. I hadn't even thought about it like that, but that's.
You got it. That's how I've always been. Like, so when people have that certain narrative, that's why sometimes I get mad when that narrative, you won't see it outside in public, how mad I get when a narrative like that swirls around, but.
We do though.
Yeah. But it is what it is.
And it's valid. Top five passers ever. I know we've done a couple top fives.
Top five passers?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Steve Nash in there. I'm gonna go John Stockton, all time leading assist man. I'm gonna go top five passers all time. That's crazy. Jason Williams, White Chocolate. I'm gonna go CP, Chris Paul, and then I need one more. I'm gonna go with big man. Jokic is on his way.
Yeah.
Jokic is on his way, but I'm gonna put a big man in there, so I'll put Jokic.
For what it's worth, I think mine is probably Magic.
I'm tripping. Sorry, Jokic.
Fair. I think for me, it's Magic, Stockton, Jason Williams.
See, he was waiting for me to be done, so I couldn't say Magic. Yeah, see, you got me.
Magic, Jason Williams, John Stockton. I'm going to throw Isaiah Thomas in there. And
that's a good one. But he gets buckets, huh?
Yeah, and Steve Nash. Yeah. Yo, so I was on Twitter the other day, and your brother got on Yeezy slides. He's in the seventh grade, bro. Like,
you saw that?
What? Man, I'm sure Duncan. There are a couple thousand people that saw it. I was just one of them, but like, look, bro, what?
Man, and Duncan and slides.
We were not doing that in seventh grade. I for sure wasn't. What? I won't speak on you, but
yeah, you're. Come on now. I was 5'9", 5'8" in seventh grade. Like, he's 6'1". Like,
and really pushing 6'2", honestly. He's like, pushing 6'2".
If he gets to grow and God allows him to grow and get taller, sky's the limit for him if he really wants to play basketball. But I mean, he's still in seventh grade. Who knows what he really wants to do?
Yeah.
He may want to do something else. I think he's playing soccer now or doing something, like, just to keep his feet work right. But he loves basketball.
Yeah. What I've appreciated so much about your brother and getting to watch his maturation is just his love and care that he approaches everything. So, like, his relationship with you, his relationship with his parents, his sisters, you know, our friendship, but also, like, what he wants to do too. Like, he's ready to really put in that work of, you know, trying to figure it out his own way. And
no, for sure. He wants to do a lot of things. I mean, for himself, he wants to make his own name. I mean, he doesn't always want to be labeled as Trae Young's little brother or anything like that. I mean, that's going to come with it, come with the territory. But I mean, people are gonna know Timothy Jordan Young one day, and that's his own name. And but he's still young. You don't want to put that pressure on him. You want him to do whatever he wants to do, and just decide as he gets older. So I mean, he's still young. So I'm excited though. I'm being able to do that, like dunk with a little ball, even in seventh grade. Like, his kids number one in my class or our class when we were in high school are doing, like, in seventh, eighth grade. Like, that's ridiculous. That, like, he's just tall and he has skill. He can play. Like, he can shoot.
Athletic already.
But I mean, kids grow and get better too. So he got to do the same. And it's not going to be always this easy.
Yeah. Is your relationship with Timothy, you know, has grown as he's gotten older and he's trying to find himself? What has, and you talked about, like, that Trey Young's younger brother, y'all's relationship, how have you helped him understand that pressure is okay, and it's, you know, it's okay to have to deal with that, but also just, you know, your relationship with him in general, like being his older brother, how do you help him navigate this part of his life? And
I mean every time I talk to him, I just try to remind him that I'm always here for him. Mm-hmm. Like, There's struggles that, I mean, I go through that he doesn't understand. There's struggles that he goes through that I don't understand. And it's okay for both of us to talk to each other. And it's okay for him to come to his big bro and ask for advice or ask for anything. So, like, he just knows that. And so, I mean, it's important for me anytime I'm with him just to remind him that, and just to always help him anytime he needs help.
Yeah. One of the things you actually told me when I graduated was, everybody runs their own race, Winston. So we all gonna get to the finish line. It may look different. It may look, you know, totally different from each other. And so I think I'm sure that you've had that exact same conversation with him.
But. For sure. And that's the thing. Like, he's like you said, like, everybody's race is different. Like, everybody's timeline is different. And he's gonna be good in whatever he decides to be. And I don't want him to feel like he needs to play basketball or anything like that. Like, so sometimes I kind of give him his space and give him his time to, like, I wait and see when he needs me. I don't necessarily bug him all the time because I know he's his own person and has his own things going on. So I kind of sometimes wait just to see when he needs me, because I know he will in a lot of areas and a lot of things. So I just try not to put a lot on him.
Of course. We, you know, just talked about running your own race. And how specifically young kids in Norman, or really the entire state of Oklahoma, have now officially gotten to experience, or at least hope to get to experience, the Young Family Athletic Center that opened up, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, the Monday after All-Star.
Mm-hmm.
Man, just talk about how important that is for you and your family's legacy, and being able to provide a one-of-a-kind facility in Norman, to where we didn't have that growing up. Like, we had a YMCA, but not that.
Oh, like, yeah. No, this is, like, my version of, like, the YMCA for, like, just the more national people. Like, I mean, there's going to be kids going there for after-school programs in Norman and things like that. But, like, in the summertime, being able to have, like, big-time swimming events, big-time volleyball events, basketball events, like, bringing some of the top coaches in the country down to Oklahoma was important to me. And so being able to have a facility to have the biggest tournaments, when, I mean, Bill Self, I mean, everybody's going down. I mean, Calipari, everybody's going down to Oklahoma now to watch the best players. Mm-hmm. And they come in, they pulling down on Trae Young Drive to the YFAC and family, I mean, facility. It's crazy. So it's like, it's an unreal feeling. Like, you don't understand. Like, we used, like, you know, we grew up, like you said, going to the Y, like going to these places around Norman. So to have, like, my own street and own building, like, with things, like, it's still surreal to me. So, like, but that part is just the beginning. Like, I'm gonna have a lot of events there and a lot of big time things there. It's gonna be really cool.
Oh man, I'm so excited. And you're right, people don't understand, because nobody was in, you know, there were some people there, but for us, like, we didn't have a facility like that to be able to work on our craft at that level of you know, precision and professionalism that has been invested into that facility. It's like,
well, no, because we had to go to the city. Like, we had to drive 30, 45 minutes.
Or exactly.
If we really wanted a big time gym or anything, we'd have to go to Dallas, and that's 2.5 hours away, 2 hours away. So it's like, it wasn't right in our backyard. So that's why it was important to have that for me.
Yeah. You know, speaking of development in high school, I know we've talked a little bit about high school. Who do you think was the best player that we played against? We could be, well, let me not say we, because you played on an elite AAU circuit. I did not. There's levels to this, folks. But who, and you know, it could be at any point.
In high school? Are you talking about in Oklahoma, or you want to talk about national? So if we do Oklahoma.
You could say both. I mean. My perspective is, you know, very limited compared to, I'm sure, what.
Okay, I'll do both. So in high school, in Oklahoma, there's this dude named, I don't know. No, not RJ Fuquay. That's my homie. But no, not him.
I think we fried them that one year we played them in postseason.
We cooked them.
Cooked them.
RJ was a part of that. RJ was a part of that. But there's Jacoby Long was nice. I mean, this Mustang high school team was nice. Curtis Haywood. I mean, they was nice. I don't know. Oklahoma was different. There was a lot of really good high-level Division I players. Mm. But Nation, I don't know. High school, like the same way y'all see Jason Tatum play right now is the same way he played in high school. Like we played each other in Kentucky at a EYBL session. And I think I was a sophomore. He was a junior. And it was like a big matchup between Michael Porter and Jason. And Jason Tatum. And it was like everybody was there. All the coaches, Blue Bloods, everybody. Like it was filled, standing room only. And I went out there. And, like, they were guarding each other, evened each other out. And, like, they both had, like, 21 points. I had, like, 27 and 12. Like, I had the best game I had that whole session. And first time after that, like, I got Kentucky all for a can. That's when I started really blowing up, making a name for myself. But Jason, when I tell you, like, the same way he plays, like, the back to the basket, the jab, the same way he played for the St. Louis Eagles is the same way he plays for the Celtics. So I think anybody that tells you like that played against him back then will tell you like he's a little stronger now, obviously, as you get older, but the style game, the smoothness to it, like you knew he was a pro, like from way back then.
Yeah. There was a clip that came out on Micah Parsons' show when CJ Stroud that went viral. And CJ was like, yeah, I gave Jaime Jaquez 40 in high school.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
I've seen that.
But I can't remember, other than Charlie Kolar, I'm sure we played against some NFL players, but like maybe some, I can't remember. I also don't really remember anybody on, at least in high school, like giving us 40. I don't think so.
Nah. We was given the 40. They wouldn't.
You
score
were
40.
Given the 40 points. I was
both
not.
Both of us together, like 50, right. 60.
45.
But yeah, no, it was good though.
Yeah,
it was great times back then.
I don't know if you've hooped with any NFL players, but if you had to pick a starting five for NFL players to hoop, who would you pick?
I don't even want to do that. It's hard rating like NFL players. They'd be too physical. They understand, like, you can't block
you can't
nobody.
You can't tackle.
You can't tackle nobody in basketball, man. Like, their aggression really shows in when they play basketball. Like, I seen that highlight video of Pat, like, when he was dribbling and crossing up. You could tell he's a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't banging with nobody. Yeah. But if he needed to, he could probably throw a shoulder into somebody. But he was skilled. He was shooting threes. Yeah. Like, I ain't seen Micah hoop. I know he was cooking in the game, but I can just assume he was being aggressive, like just going, getting layups, trying to bully everybody. Like I can just you can feel a football player when he's out there on the court, like in his presence as far as like the physicality that he brings.
There was somebody that I did see a highlight tape of that like, no, I would never want to play against him, is Myles Garrett, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
He got it.
That's like, what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, no. Nah. But no. Miles is a very talented athlete, like, so, but nah.
Yeah, nah.
You got it. You go check. Score. Go score. March Madness is right around the corner. I know, you know, you had your experience in March Madness, but really your overall, you know, college experience in general, what type of excitement did you start to feel whenever you guys knew you were, you know, in a place to make the tournament? And
what, I didn't know we was gonna make it. I ain't gonna lie. We had gotten all the way up to top five in the country. I think we were number three in the country at one point, like midway through the season. So I knew we felt good and in good place. Like we were on the, when the first bracketology came out, we were like a top three seed. And then second half of the Big 12 happened and we were like, we had lost 7 of 9 or 6 of 9 or something like that and almost fell out of it. And mm-hmm. so like, whenever they were going through the names, like I was nervous. Like I wasn't excited or nothing. Like I was just anxious and ready for them to call our names. And when they called our name on the screen, it was at our banquet.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if you look at our photo, like everybody was cheering and I was just still sitting down. Like, yes, like I'm glad we just made it. Like I'm just, yeah, okay. Yeah, we get another chance now. Yeah. Okay. But everybody's up cheering and excited. But like, I really didn't even know if we had a chance to do it. So that was my reaction. I was just, all right, bet we got another chance. And so yeah. Sucks that we lost in overtime, but it was a good experience. I wish I had. Sometimes yeah. I take that back. I don't wish I had another chance. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I wish, because I mean, I feel like everything happened the way it was supposed to. But if I'd have had 2-3 cracks at it, I mean, I would have went further than the first round.
Yeah. I don't think there is an extreme amount of coverage around Selection Sunday, but really after that, like until the first game, not many people know like what's going on or mm-hmm. anything like that. Those days following Selection Sunday, as there are probably a handful of teams that are about to experience, you know, 64 to be exact, like what are those 2-3-4 days after Selection Sunday like? Is like, okay, we're in a tourney now. So yeah. like,
well, you know, I mean, I think most schools go about to go on break. So it's crazy because you still got finals. I think a lot of people still starting to finish school and finals, but now it's like you figure out who you play, you figure out where you're going, mm-hmm. and then the next couple of days you're just preparing for that team and before you head out to that city and to get ready. And it's a lot of anxiousness that builds up and you're just ready to play and you're really not really, you don't feel like you're in the moment till maybe that practice that day before. When it's like a live practice and everybody's in the gym and you just practicing and it's a lot of fans in there and mm-hmm. you're in the arena that you're about to play in, like I don't think it really hits you until you there. But I mean, I think the main thing that helps teams win and keeps them ready is just making sure they have the same routine. Don't try to switch anything up or do anything different now that you made the tournament. Like, try to, as much as you can, keep the same routine as far as sleep schedule and things like that, because you can have a lot of anxiousness that builds up. So if you can rest, get ready for the game, you can be successful.
Did you know I made the tournament?
You made the tournament?
I did. It wasn't Division I tournament, but we did make the...
What tournament?
Division III.
Fire.
You know?
Pomona, pitcher.
Yeah.
See, I remember it, dog.
Right.
Come on now.
Great friend right there, man. But on a...
Smart. I wouldn't have been able to make the school. That's why they didn't offer me no scholarship.
But like you said, it, not only for the teams, but just kind of the country in general, there's so much excitement and anxiousness around March Madness, but really just college sports in general and specifically college basketball. I think it was maybe a couple weeks ago that Kyle Filipkowski, sorry if I butchered that name, but
from Duke.
Kyle from Duke. He actually got injured when the fans stormed the court, and Coach Snyder was really was very outspoken about how dangerous that is and all of that. I know you have had your very, like specifically in college, mm-hmm. have had those instances where there's a lot of emotion going on. There's a lot of excitement and anxiousness. When you saw that and you saw Coach Shire's comments after, what'd you think of the situation? I mean,
it's an unfortunate situation. They handled it. The fans, I forgot where they played at. They handled that bad. Like the security, like allowing them just to, it seemed like as soon as the buzzer went zero, like mm-hmm. fans were already at the free throw line. Like it shouldn't be that, yeah. it shouldn't be that like, that quick. Like they handled the security terrible. I'm not against fan fan storming. Like, I've had the fan storm on me when I was in college. Like, and I said, fuck the handshake. And I just ran to the locker room. Like, cause I knew they was only storming the court because they beat me.
Right.
So, and beat our team. Like, I wouldn't, because in being in that situation, imagine if you're Kyle or you're me, like, and they rush a quarter, you're Caitlin who gets bumped. They're not running just to touch the wood. They're running to go run and hit Caitlin Clark. They're running to go touch her. They don't necessarily want to beat her up or be mad at her. They get a chance to be on the court with Caitlin. Yeah. They get to be on a chance with Kyle. Yeah. Like, they're going to rush the court with these players and they may be on their phones. That's the thing today. People are running out there with their phones up and not looking in front of them, and then they hitting the player. They're hitting somebody else. So it's like,
accidentally even.
Yeah.
It's just a safety concern, period.
So, so it's not necessarily like, if you gonna, I don't know, if nowadays it's a lot different probably than it was back in the 80s and 90s when there was no phones and you could storm the court and you could see what you're running at.
Yeah.
Like, nowadays people are trying to video when they storm the court, so I think that can cause, I mean, some messed up stuff too.
For sure. Yeah, I totally agree. I think at the end of the day, just like it is in the NBA, every level of competition should always be a level of safety and protection of the folks, men or women, that are out there on the court playing the game. And the minute that's compromised, you have a much larger problem on your hands, because that is going to, you know, God willing, nobody gets seriously injured. But if that does, that affects performance of not only the team, but that can affect an individual's opportunity to maybe play at the next level. Like, you just never know.
It really should only take one time, or now it's been a few times that this incident has happened this year. Like, I mean, it only usually takes one time for things to change. Like, I mean, I was just at Disney World for All-Star break. Like, if a ride messed up one time, like, They're going to shut it down and make sure this shit is fixed and changed before they just let people back on the ride. Like,
that's out of safety.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's the thing there. Things are going to change now that, I mean, there's been some accidents that's happened.
For sure. LeBron just hit 40,000 points, bro. Like, I can't even fathom what like 40,000 points is. I think I probably have like like 200, but,
nobody can. That's ridiculous.
Man, like, LeBron was my favorite player growing up, and I know, like, you and him have a relationship, but to see somebody achieve that in not only our lifetime, but, like, have opportunity to share the court with him in competition, like, what has that been like to see him achieve this milestone, and not only that, but keep ascending on it?
Man, you know? it's unreal, like, just witnessing it and just looking at it from playing against him, and then just from watching him as a fan, as a kid growing up. I mean, it's just crazy. And now being a part of it, like, I've scored 10,000, I've been in the league 6 years. Yeah. It's a lot. Like, and I ain't just averaging teens. Like, I'm averaging a lot too. So to see him put up 40,000, like, that's, it just shows the longevity you have to have and the amount of dominance you have to have over a certain amount of period of time. And that's why a lot of people don't think it'll ever be broken. It would be like John Stockton's assist record because of the amount of dominance he's had for so long. That's why in the GOAT debate, you gotta include that. You gotta talk about that type of thing, because what he's done, nobody's ever done.
Mm.
Like, what he's doing right now, nobody's ever been able to do. And it's not like he's just out here just a regular guy. Like, he's still one of the top players in the league and playing at a high level. And he still wants to win championships. So to be where he's at and to accomplish what he's accomplished, I think his caption was like one of one. Like, that's, he's definitely one of one. You can say that.
Yeah, for sure. And as young guys like yourself, like a select group of NBA players are looking at him and hoping to continue to ascend in the league. And, you know, some people maybe refer to it as maybe like a face of a league per se, but I think that term is honestly a little bit overused.
Yeah.
As a young guy and also your peers, what do you think, as you guys try to elevate your games, like, what do you think that criteria is? Like, do you think it's longevity? You think it's dominance? You think it's championships? You know, what is it? All of the above. Like,
I think it's a little bit of everything. I think when you look at the guys who are the face of the league, You think of guys like LeBron, you think of Kobe, you think of, I mean, guys like Jordan, KD, like guys that have won championships. And like today's game, there's so many talented offensive guys. It's hard to really name just one offense. I mean, just one face of the league, like
right.
when Bron was here, or when Kobe had a certain time mm-hmm. period, or even Jordan. But like, that's what I'm saying. I feel like people are going to judge it when some of these young guys start winning championships, or who's going to be that first young guy, or who's mm-hmm. going to be the next wave of young guys who start winning championships.
Yeah.
I think that's you think of like Jokic and you think of Giannis. I mean, they're young guys, and so a lot of people think they can be the face of the league. But you think of Luka, you think of some of the young guys, like they're just waiting for people to win championships. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what it is. But today's game is so many talented players, so many more talented players. Yeah. It's going to be hard to just have one face of the league,
right? Yeah, and like yeah, because face is singular, and that's why I have an over as a fan, you know, mm-hmm. for what it's worth, it probably means nothing, but but that's just my own personal opinion. Is like a face is singular, and I just don't think where that's our game is going. Like you said, I have so much appreciation and respect and for a slew of you guys that are just so talented in your own rights, and I think the league is in great hands.
That's what I'm saying. We just had a 7'4" guy get drafted, 7'5" guy get drafted who can dribble. So you're going to put him as the face of the league? You're going to put Luka? You're going to put Jokic, Giannis? Like, it's not just one. Like,
or
you know,
combination.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
It can be a lot of faces of the league and a lot of people that represent the league. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Since we're live in the Bleacher Report app, I thought it would be kind of dope to take some fan questions. You know, people have been writing in. As we've been live. So the NFL Combine is going on right now. I'm sure you've seen some clips on IG, Twitter, X. Who do you think would run the fastest 40-yard in the NBA? I got my pick already.
Fastest 40? Who would you say, since I went first last time?
I personally, just because I got to see him in high school too, and now in the league.
You gonna say me?
No.
No.
I think you probably top.
If you want to
five,
say, okay.
All you right. top five.
I think
De'Aaron Fox is probably
what.
I yeah. think he's probably one.
He's definitely top three. Man, he may be. Hold on, what was the question again? Fastest?
So, yeah. Who do you think in the NBA right now can run the fastest 40?
Fastest 40.
Not dribbling, not, you know, just fastest 40. I think it's Fox.
Man, I don't know, bro. Because there's some dude, I don't know. They're going to beat, I don't know, because there's some tall guys who you got to think going to use their long legs. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a good question. Fox is definitely fast.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's 40.
I think maybe it's not true. Like, I think.
Because I was going to say Ish Smith, but I don't know if he's still in the league. That motherfucker's fast.
Man, it's super
Smith,
quick,
Smith,
too.
What? Every time he came in the game, I'm like, yeah, lace your shoes up a little tighter. You're going to be in a foot race.
I think you up there, honestly.
Yeah.
No. I don't know, though. There are a lot of fast guys, though.
Oh, there's a lot of fast dudes.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Another one is, what are some of your favorite things about living in Atlanta that are completely unrelated to basketball?
Favorite things about living in Atlanta. I mean, for me, like I'm not very high maintenance. So, like I don't really do too much. Like I think in Atlanta, you can always find some good food somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like if you like really need to go somewhere, like Atlanta has a little bit of everything. Like it's mm-hmm. shopping and has food places. I mean, places you can take the kids, like mm-hmm. has a little bit of everything, but you can also be, I mean, low key too. So I think for me, just being able to have a little bit of everything is nice.
Yeah. Last question I've got is, somebody wrote in and said, you are one of the most clutch players in the league. What helps you calm down or cool your nerves and play so well when it matters the most?
It's simple. It's like the work you put in when nobody's watching. So I mean, the work like we all do as kids when we, I mean, dribbling, we in a gym by ourselves or whatever, and you counting down Like you imagine you hitting the game winner and you're at the top of the key, whatever. Like those things really like help you if you take them serious in moments where you need them. So for me, like I always feel like the work that I put in helps me feel so confident and just play at ease when I'm on the court.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Ice, I think that that wraps up our live show here in the Bleacher Report app. Yeah. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Sprite, for that crisp lemon lime flavor. Ice Trey, it's the clear favorite, man. But I think that wraps us up here.
Okay. All right. It's another episode of From the Point by your favorite point. Three fingers on this one. See y'all next time.
Peace.
Peace.